and I'm Leslie Marshall, and it's Thursday, hour two, and you know what that means. It's time for the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show, right here with my buddy, my co-host, my partner in crime, or my partner in trying to take away the crime of the lies and the mistruths and the misinformation that is spouted by those on the right. My buddy, my co-host, this and every Thursday, hour two, is Mark Levine. In this hour, I definitely want you to join us. We welcome your opinions, your comments, your questions, your concerns, a few ways to join us. 888-653-7543 is the number. You can tweet us, follow us on Twitter, me, at Leslie Marshall, tweet us there, or Mark, at Mark Levine Talk, tweet him there. Also, you can like the fan page, facebook.com/TheLeslieMarshallShow, and FB, or send an email through the contact page of the website, LeslieMarshallShow.com. If you haven't heard Mark, Mark's filled in for me. He is my co-host every hour two here on the program, a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He currently hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop, and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. He frequently appears on television, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC, tangling with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to his Pacifica co-host on the left. I tangled with Mr. O'Reilly last Friday. Mark, thank you, as always, being my co-host every Thursday, hour two. I actually look forward to this hour.
I do too, Leslie.
Very, very much. Let's talk about this, first of all, government shutdown, this potential government shutdown. And I know that there are people out there that think that John Boehner's a bad leader, and what does Noam Scheiber say? If John Boehner knows what's good for him, he'll shut down the government. Do people really realize what shutting down the government means? Because one of the things I talked about I can't remember what the show I was on Fox this week, is that most Americans, I think, are very naive, uneducated, and ignorant, dare I say, when it comes to what the federal government provides and how much each of us actually do rely on the federal government, whether it's for a bridge you're driving over that doesn't collapse, hopefully, because we don't invest in our infrastructure, a highway that is paved interstate, certainly when there's a storm and you call FEMA, hello, when we're attacked here or abroad, our military, I mean, the list goes on. You know, the federal government isn't just food stamps, welfare, Medicare.
And Social Security. It's also things like the National Institute for Health. I mean, the government actually does better research than every drug company combined into how to prevent diseases. It's a very important thing the government does. The government, as you point out, the infrastructure, the roads, the highways, I can't tell you every time I'm in traffic and I want a new lane on the freeway. But you're right, it's day-to-day stuff. It's advice on consumer protection. It's going to your national parks and enjoying the great beauty in the United States. It's paying the military salaries of the people who defend us. I mean, you're right. The list goes on and on.
Now, why do you think it is that, I mean, what do you think John Boehner will do? I mean, we definitely have a different group of Republicans in the House versus in the Senate.
It's going to be a fascinating, really political game here, and it all has to do with the structure of how our system is set up. See, the Republicans control the House. Everybody knows that. But most people may not realize how it is that they control the House. A lot of people don't realize that the Democrats won more votes in congressional elections for both the House and the Senate in 2012 than Republicans did. So in the House, if the majority of Americans got to choose a representative, there'd be a Democratic House. Nancy Pelosi would be Speaker. But what the Republicans did is they designed district boundaries in states. You know this, Leslie. I'm explaining it to the listeners who may not know, although most of the listeners I know are pretty sophisticated. But by gerrymandering the districts, by designing the districts to maximize Republican votes, they've actually made it so that a minority of Americans got to choose the majority party in the House. So already Republicans are at a disadvantage. The majority of Americans reject them, and yet they're in power anyway. Now let's look at another minority. See, it's only a minority that gets to elect the Speaker of the House. You might ask how that can be. Isn't it a majority of all members in the House? Well, it is, except that the Republicans choose one person, and the Democrats choose one person. The Democrats choose Pelosi. The Republicans choose Boehner. But the Republicans have their election for who they want before they vote in lockstep against the Democrats. So what happens is that Boehner has to win a majority of the Republican votes. So when you think about the fact that Republicans represent a minority of Americans and that he only has to win 51% of that 47% minority, he really only has to appeal to about 25-30% of the American people. And 25-30% of the American people would rather shut the government down than actually have a government at all, because they really are opposed to, I guess, to Obamacare, to the Affordable Health Care Act. They really don't want poor people to be able to get health insurance. Now, why these 25-30% of Americans are so against poor people getting health insurance, I don't know, particularly when it's a Heritage Foundation Republican plan originally sponsored by Mitt Romney. I suspect they just want Obama to fail. But maybe 25-30% of Americans care so strongly about Obama failing, they're willing to derail the entire American government to do so. Now, when he does this, this actually is incredibly damaging to the Republican Party, because the majority of Americans do not want the government to shut down. So Boehner is in this fascinating position of having to appeal to this minority of a minority, or actually the slight majority of a minority, and in doing so, he's appealing to his base, but he's totally going off the reservation with regard to the American people. That's the dilemma he's in.
When you talk about the dilemma that he's in, don't you think that Boehner actually doesn't want to have a government shutdown? Because it would be damaging to the Republican Party, despite the circus that they want to continue to hold up Obamacare as the bait or litmus test or the bar, in a sense, when it comes to not only defunding, but obviously the Keystone Pipeline, other spending cuts, as we have seen today.
Well, he's actually said so. He said so publicly and privately that he doesn't want to do this. But just because he said so doesn't mean he won't actually do it. He and Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the Senate, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, joined together on a plan to allow the Republicans to symbolically vote against Obamacare but still keep the government funding. But the majority of Republicans in the House rejected that. And interestingly, the reason they rejected it is because the districts that they're in are so gerrymandered, they're so overwhelmingly Republican. They're not representative of ordinary American districts, but they're designed to be very pro-Republican. And so the Republicans have more to fear from a primary challenge from the right that's more likely to take them out of office than a real election in November. And so, again, these gerrymandered boundaries, the same thing that allows a minority to control the House of Representatives, actually causes that minority to be far to the right of even the average Republican.
You know, obviously, this, I don't know how this happens, or that this can happen. In the past, in the 11th hour, in the game of chicken, they have conceded, one. And two, you have a Democratic-controlled Senate. You have a, you know, a president. But obviously, you know, we had a guy that took up a hell of a lot of time, Ted Cruz, going on and on and on and on. And, I mean, I wish you just read Dr. Seuss the whole time. At least that would have been more entertaining, except for that one, just the one Green Eggs and Ham nighttime story. So at the end of the day, the polls show that Americans are going to blame Republicans. John Boehner knows this is going to be bad for Republicans. Ted Cruz was bad for Republicans. The party is so fragmented. It doesn't appear to be fragmented in the House, but the House and the Senate almost aren't even on the same page, never mind the same party. If the government shuts down, although this would be horrific to so many Americans, and quite frankly, and I want to talk about that, whether now or in, you know, another segment, what it would do to the global economy, and, you know, I mean the domino, negative domino effect, the spiral downward domino effect it would have worldwide. But at the end of the day, do Republicans honestly want to lose the next, what, 2 to 4 elections? And I think they will if they allow this to happen. Do you agree with me?
Well, it's going to hurt them. Now, again, if they lose by the majority, that won't knock them out of power. They lost the election in 2012. They got to lose by 55-60% to get around the gerrymandering advantage. But I think that can happen if the government shuts down, which I think is quite likely to happen. Now, you're right. There have been 11th-hour deals in the past that may well come up again. But recall what's going to happen next. So the Senate is going to vote, and they're going to vote to approve the budget normally. And frankly, you can't even really defund Obamacare because it's mostly through a system of private exchanges and so forth you can shut down the irony is if they shut down the government, Obamacare will continue. That's truly ironic. But so The Senate's going to vote, and then because of Cruz's shenanigans, because of what he did in the Senate, that's going to give Boehner very little time, probably next Monday, to make a very quick decision of what he decides to run through the House. And the Democrats aren't cooperating because the Democrats see, look, either pass a normal bill and the government goes on as usual, or, you know, if you do a government shutdown, we learned in the 90s when that happens, when the Republicans shut down the government, that helps us in the elections. We're not going to help you take away American priorities. And furthermore, one more important thing. On Tuesday, Obamacare begins, right? October 1st, people can sign up for the exchanges. The exchanges notoriously give everyone a lot cheaper health care. So Republicans are very determined to stop Obamacare.
Yeah, exactly. They know once Obamacare comes into play, Americans are going to like it. Let's take some calls and go to Sean in Tampa Bay, Florida. Hi, Sean in Tampa Bay, Florida. How you doing? Good evening. Welcome. Question or comment for my co-host, Mark Levine, and I.
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. So Obamacare comes in, and we're going to like it. Have you seen the costs are coming out of the estimates coming out of Texas and out of Florida?
Well, first of all, every state, there are 50 of them, remember, has a different number of programs and plans to choose from. One. Two, it is based on your income bracket. And three, you have a choice. For example, do you have insurance now, Sean?
I do.
You do? Well, then you're not. Is it provided by your employer?
It is.
Then you don't get Obamacare, darling. So it doesn't affect you.
But being the fact that we're a constitutional republic, why do we have to buy insurance?
Well, you don't. Your employer's paying
for it. Because it's mandated, and the Supreme Court held up that mandate was constitutional. Why do you have to buy car insurance?
Why do you have to buy police?
You don't really.
Let me ask you, Sean.
You do have to buy car insurance. I lived in Florida, Sean, and I got an offender bender, and you do have to buy car insurance. If you both don't have insurance and you're willing to, you know, hand me $100 for, you know, the dent in my car, and I'm happy with that, and we don't call the police and obviously have no insurance company to report it into, obviously then nobody knows.
You don't get taxed for not driving a car.
Sean, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a fire?
Have you ever had a fire?
Yeah.
Thankfully not.
Okay, that's good. But your tax dollars go to the firefighters. Do you think that you should be able to say, you know, I don't want to pay for firefighters. I'll take the risk of having a fire.
How does public safety
just remove the tax to pay for firefighters. How do you feel about that?
How does public safety compare to health insurance?
Well, actually, I'll tell you something. I probably will never have a fire as long as the day is long. But in my life, I've had to use health care many times. Most people are born, actually everyone. Most people die, actually everyone. And the vast majority of us, 99.9% of us, get sick in some time in our life. It's far more likely you're going to need a doctor than is you're ever going to need a firefighter. So that money going to a doctor makes much more sense than the money you use to pay for your firefighters. Make sense?
I don't see how that works together. I don't understand that we're being forced. I'm blessed that I have a job that provides me health insurance. Actually, it costs me nothing right now. But if I was self-employed and I was trying to run a company, and all of a sudden this comes into effect next week, and now I'm my employees are either forced to spend $700+ a month, or I'm going to just whittle them down to a part-time position so they aren't forced to buy it and I can keep my job going. I don't understand what is the benefit.
Well, wait a minute. What I want to know, the average cost of Obamacare was $328 a month. So where are you getting double that amount?
At news reports out of Texas and Florida.
You can't look at news reports. You can't. First of all, you have insurance from your employer. So it doesn't even affect you personally.
I'm not worried about me.
Second of all, I'm sure you care so much about your neighbor because, you know, if this had been Bush care, you would have loved it and you would have had a party. The bottom line is don't get your information on Obamacare from a news report, whether it is a left-leaning outlet or a right-leaning outlet. You want to get your information go to the computer on October 1st, go to the exchange, and find out specifically what it would cost you and find out what it will cost others. Because when we come back, I'm going to continue talking with my co-host and we'll continue talking with Sean and our other callers if you're holding. Hey, we're back on Leslie Marshall. My co-host is Mark Levine here on the Only True Democracy in Talk Radio, the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show every Thursday, hour two. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Sean, thanks for holding. Welcome back in Tampa Bay. But Sean, hang tight because I do want Mark to say something. By the way, one of the lowest plans, not the lowest, cost $192. $328 is actually the national average, and that has been reported by every media outlet like Associated Press, etc. So wherever, if you want to take an average of all the plans nationally, it is $328. But there are plans, $192 is one of the lowest, and we're getting actually the lowest numbers. Mark, I wanted you to comment on some of what Sean said tonight regarding the Affordable Care Act.
Well, the price is going to basically vary significantly depending on where you live, depending on how old you are, depending on how much money you make. So it is hard to give a specific plan. Sean doesn't have to worry about it because his employer is already covering it. The main thing to know, though, is that if you make, say, $50,000 or less, you're definitely going to do better. You're going to get a subsidy. Things will be better for you. It also, though, depends on your state. Texas and Florida, Republican states, are doing their best to obstruct Obamacare and to increase people's premiums as much as possible, whereas other states like Maryland, New York, California, blue states are trying to lower premiums as much as possible. So if rates
you can't blame Obamacare for that. You got to blame Rick Scott and his Republican buddies in your state for that.
That's exactly right. And some states, of course, are not participating at all. They will go under a federal plan, and those numbers will come out Tuesday, October 1st. So the main
hypocritically, the state of Florida, Rick Scott does take the federal money for the Medicaid program in that state, as Chris Christie did, even though they were against Obamacare. So they're taking pieces of it for the poor of the poor in Florida who are on that plan. Sean, hang on, sweetie, because we will let you say more. I'm not cutting you off. I got to take another break. That's our shortest segment in the hour. We'll be back with my co-host Mark Levine on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show and your calls right after this.
Julia, Julia.
Marshall here, co-hosting with my buddy Mark Levine on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show every Thursday, hour two, every hour two, every Thursday, right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. That's the 8 p.m. Eastern hour on Thursdays. Mark, as always, good to have you as my co-host in this hour, buddy. Thank you for hanging with us. And let's bring Sean back in Tampa Bay. We'll let him get on with his life after this. Sean, thank you for your patience and holding. But Sean, which one of you was talking before the break? I'm so confused. You know, you guys all sound the same to me. Ha ha.
That's not very nice. Hey, listen.
Oh, Sean, it was a joke. It was a joke. I got it.
Show, and I admire you very much. But I'm saying this. We're not going to agree with the fact that Obamacare is unconstitutional, constitutional or not. But either way,
the Supreme Court already stated it was. So, you know, whether you like that, I mean, I'm not a Supreme Court justice.
It's a hot mess.
No, it is not. The reality is you're believing the sound bites of all the conservatives that I debate on Fox every week.
Sean, there are four provisions in the Constitution that specifically say it's constitutional. It's a tax. It's a regulation of interstate commerce. That one they didn't find. They did find it was a tax. It also promotes the general welfare, and it's part of the necessity clause. Do you happen to think that health care is neither a tax nor a regulation of interstate commerce, nor does it promote the general welfare? It's a very, very hard argument to make this unconstitutional if you base it on the Constitution rather than just some talking points.
I'm dumbfounded by this. The Constitution was written by some great men who never would have envisioned this.
They did. They said provide for the general welfare. It's right there, Article 1, Section 8. It's what Congress can do. So,
by the way, Sean, wait, Mark. Also, and Mark, please back me up on this, I believe. You know, Sean, if you say that, they never would have stood for this, our founding forefathers, okay? I don't think they would have stood for Citizens United, which clearly perverts what they wrote in the Constitution as well, that a corporation is an individual. I don't think they would have stood for, and I think they would have said, wait, when we wrote the Second Amendment, we didn't mean semi-automatic weapons for people to go killing each other, fellow Americans in this country.
Right,
I mean, those are just two examples. Those are just two examples, exactly.
I agree on the corporation thing, but we were killing each other back in the day when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That's what guns are for killing people.
And guns were regulated by our forefathers, including George Washington, who put down the Whiskey Rebellion in western Pennsylvania in his first term of office. So they certainly didn't believe that people could just willy-nilly own guns. They could own them in a well-regulated militia. But I think Leslie's point is the Supreme Court has changed its mind on that. For 200 years, they held you needed a militia. For the last 3 or 4 years, they say anyone can, crazy person can own a gun. So sometimes you may not agree with the Supreme Court, but clearly the founders' words, to me, should decide the matter, right? I mean, what's actually written in the document, shouldn't that decide the matter?
It's all how it's interpreted, and you're going to interpret it the way you want to.
No, I'm going to read the actual words of the Constitution, and it seems to me that providing for the general welfare and regulating interstate commerce and, yes, taxing people is all explicitly provided for. If you say something's unconstitutional, you have to make an argument. You can't just say, you'd agree with me, you can't just say, I don't like it, therefore it's unconstitutional. To say something's unconstitutional, you have to cite the Constitution and say it's not in there, right?
Leslie, I appreciate your show. Mark makes my eyes bleed.
Well, you know what? That's good. It's better. It's better than having no response at all. Sean, thank you. Thank you.
I'm gonna have to quote our assistant producer Zach here and say that that last comment by Sean is code for you're right, and I don't know how to argue with you.
Okay, Sean. Thank you for the call. And you know what? Sean carries a gun. I think he's in law enforcement if he's who we think he is. Let's take some more calls, and let's go very patient and holding in Vegas to Velma. Velma in Vegas. Hello, Velma. How you doing? Good evening and welcome.
I'm doing good. Boys, you're going to have to be quiet. I'm on the phone. But anyway.
I think they will.
I was looking at Twitter. And I seen where you said where the Republicans gonna let the government shut down,
right?
And I thought they're not. What they're doing, they think that President Obama is gonna relent and do something to Obamacare.
And no, they don't. They know he won't.
Is not gonna change his mind, and they're not gonna let the government shut down. They're calling his bluff. They're playing politics.
Well, that they're certainly doing, Velma. I mean, I don't know whether or not the government will shut down or not come Tuesday. It wouldn't surprise me if it does shut down for a little while. It wouldn't surprise me if they come up with something at the very last minute. But the idea that the elected representatives of the people who chose after years of debate on this and passed it through a filibuster, you know, and everything in the Senate and got this in this place are going to suddenly throw away everything they did one day before it's set to begin. If the Republicans truly believe that, they're smoking something. I think they know it's not going to happen. They're doing it entirely for political reasons. I think most of America knows that they're doing it for political reasons. Look, if you oppose giving health insurance to poor Americans, then elect a president and elect a Congress that opposes it. But the majority of the American people and a majority of representatives support the Affordable Care Act. That's
right.
Simple.
And that's what I should call it, the Affordable Care Act.
No, wait. Mark. I'm glad you said that. I want people listening to hear you say that again, but cite where you get. The majority, every poll shows, of Americans do not support Obamacare. Yet you're saying that's not the case.
Here's what I'm saying. If you look at the individual parts of Obamacare, if you break it down and tell people what it is, if you say, for example, that if you're 26 or under, you get insurance, if you say that people with pre-existing conditions get insurance, if you say that 94% of the people who are uninsured today will pay less than $328 a month. If you give them the specific provisions, the vast majority of Americans support every part of it. It is true that a lot of Americans don't know what's in it, and that's why the Republicans are determined to stop it before it goes into effect, because come October, I think Americans are going to be in for a sweet surprise when they go to healthcare.gov, and by the way, that's where you should go on October 1st, healthcare.gov, and you plug in your information, and if you need insurance, you'll find out exactly how much it costs. I do think Americans will be pleasantly surprised in the vast majority of states. Now, it's true in some very red states, governors are doing their best to raise the cost for their own citizens because they care more about hating Obama than about helping their own citizens. But for the vast majority of Americans, the rates will be much lower.
Velma?
But you know what? Today, did you hear him today? He laid out and he told us where to go. If you don't believe me, he told us where to go. And do you think these people, a lot of these people that is on budgets, whatever, a lot of these people that are out there, they're not going to get this Obamacare. Believe me, they're going to do it because we're going to do what's best for our pocketbook.
That's right. That's right. That's right. People are going to go there if they need health insurance. Listen, the vast majority of Americans are people like Sean who get it through their employer. They won't be affected at all. They may not look up the numbers, and they may still complain. But for the people looking up the numbers, I think the vast majority will be pleasantly surprised come October 1st.
And a lot of people that are not on Medicare, and a lot of people that, like me, have pre-existing conditions. I'm a diabetic. You know, people don't want to insure people like me. And I don't work. I don't have a job. My husband works.
You have Velma, your insurance is provided by Medicare. Is that your primary or your secondary? Because
no,
you said you're.
I'm not Medicare. I'm not old enough. I don't get Medicare.
She has no health insurance, right, Velma?
I'm not trying to make you an old broad, Velma. Don't worry, Velma. So you have your insurance is through your husband, and his insurance is through his employer.
Through my husband.
I don't think she has insurance.
She just said through my husband.
Yeah, let me tell you. But the thing of it is, if I didn't, I would have to. I'm not.
But yeah, what she's saying is she's insured by through her husband's plan. But as a diabetic, if she didn't have her husband's plan, nobody would want to insure her because she's a diabetic.
If they didn't carry me on my husband's policy, I would have to go out. I would have to get Obamacare, and because nobody else will insure me if I didn't have it through his employer because I'm a diabetic.
And Velma, you just said one of the many reasons we need Obamacare and why it is good. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Velma. You go take care of those boys there in Vegas. Thank you, Velma. Appreciate the call. Mark, what I really felt that the soundbite, we got to pass it to know what's in it, taken out of context, the former House Speaker Pelosi started into motion this actually very victorious campaign by the right to provide false information, misinformation, lies, outright lies, about the Affordable Care Act. And I don't feel that the Democrats and the president, quite frankly, definitely I'm critical of my own party and the president in this, I don't feel that they explained the plan, what it is, what it isn't, and fought the misinformation enough. For every lie put out by Republicans, somebody should have been out there loud and clear and louder and prouder stating, sorry, I had to do my little gay pride there, right? louder and seriously stating that is not true. I even heard today congressional members talking about how people are going to be forced to abandon their health care when they like what they have. That's a lie. First of all, because if you have health insurance, you're not going to be able to sign up. You have health insurance with your employer. If you're and the other thing that you constantly hear is all these companies are taking their part-timers off of health care. No, they're not taking their part-timers off of health care. They're putting their part-timers on Obamacare. In other words, they're putting them on a different health care plan. Why are the employers doing it? Because it's more affordable.
Sure. And by the way, I was just looking online. Apparently, the Kaiser Family Foundation can actually give you an estimate of what it's going to cost you even before October 1st. So
yeah,
you don't
actually,
have to wait
I think
till
we
October
posted.
1st.
I think we posted that. Who was it? Who was on the other day, guys? Richard, what's his name? The finance guy, Yahoo. He had that in his piece, and I think we posted that Kaiser link, didn't we?
Yeah, if you go to healthcare.gov, it actually takes you there, so you can look it up for yourself. Yeah. But obviously Velma's right. People who are diabetics would not be covered. And, you know, part of this comes down to sort of a basic humanity. I mean, we're the only industrialized nation on Earth that has one-sixth of our population that has no health insurance, no access to doctors. Basically, they have to have a medical emergency, and then they go there in the emergency and basically use up every bit of assets they've ever had because the hospitals are charging 20, 30, 40 times what they do to people without insurance. And so, you know, you have a heart attack, you go bankrupt, and you can't afford the heart medication that could otherwise treat it. I mean, no other industrialized nation does this. The other 34 or so have universal health care, which is actually a better system than even Obamacare, and they live longer than we do. They pay way less than we do, and they're not gouged by profiteers in the health insurance industry the way we are. So, you know, do you believe that the Republican governors are right to make their own citizens pay more in health care just to try to make Obama look bad? Or do we support the governors in the blue states that, you know, vote for Democrats if you believe the government should actually try to keep health care costs down rather than raise it up?
I want to share something, and then we're going to take a break. The new health plans are organized in 5 tiers with different monthly premiums. By the way, the average premium for an individual in America under the plan will be $328 per month, which is very low compared to what's out there. The new health plans are organized in 5 tiers with different monthly premiums and out-of-pocket cost. Catastrophic coverage, bronze, silver, gold, and in some areas, platinum. The national average cited by HHS refers to the second cheapest among silver plans on the market, which many healthcare economists expect to be the most popular for their balance of coverage and out-of-pocket costs. On average, the least expensive plans in the group were reported in Minnesota, that cost $192 per month, and Tennessee, $245. At the high end are the states with large rural populations, because healthcare is more expensive to deliver there. Mississippi is $448 per month, which is still not very high. Alaska is $474, Wyoming $516. By the way, Florida, where Sean was calling from tonight, came right in at the national average of $328, despite Scott and the Republicans trying to raise it. So they still, if the average is $328, that means there are plans lower than that. If you don't mind, Mark Levine, do you mind? If you do, what do you pay per month for health insurance for yourself?
Well, I used to pay a lot more, it went up about 15, 20, 25% a year until Obamacare came. It actually went up over 300, and it's just me. I don't have a family. It's just me, single person, and I don't smoke, and I'm in good health. And it finally got so high, it got the high threes, that I went on basically a bare-bones plan, where basically they just helped me in terms of catastrophe. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what I can get under Obamacare, because actually I'll be covered under it. Unfortunately, my governor, the Virginia governor, is a Republican governor. He refused to accept federal aid, so he's trying to make our costs as high as possible, but I'm hoping we're going to elect Terry McAuliffe in a couple months, and that'll reverse all of that real quick.
Okay, and we'll take a break when we come back. If my guys want to share what they pay, I pay $2,000 a month for my health insurance. And that includes my husband and my 2 children, and that's on my husband's care, and that's Blue Cross, which, by the way, has increased since not Obama was president, since Bush was president, 6 times. 6 times. For no reason. We'll be back right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away. And we're back. Back with my co-host, Mark Levine, on the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. This is the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show, every hour two, every Thursday, and Mark is my co-host. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. You shared tonight before the show a piece written by Noam Schieber, and it's entitled, If John Boehner, I referenced it earlier, knows what's good for him, he'll shut down the government. Why did you want to share this particular piece with us tonight?
Because I think it shows how complex the politics is of all of this. I mean, Boehner really doesn't want to shut down the government. I know that. I'm not claiming that he wants to, you know, destroy the government. Some Republicans do. The Speaker of the House doesn't. But he has to, given his strange position. And frankly, as the article points out, the more serious thing, even than shutting down the government, which has happened in the past, it happened in the 90s, Republicans, Newt Gingrich shut down under Bill Clinton, the much more serious thing is going to come in mid-October, in just about 3 weeks, when we've got to pay our debts. And if we stop paying our debts for the first time in 200-plus years of American history, that's a real problem, because it means that interest rates will go up for the rest of American history. We've never defaulted on our debts. Civil War, Revolutionary War, never defaulted on our debts. That's much more serious. Boehner knows that. So he's much more likely to symbolically shut down the government for a few days than actually default on the national debt, which would be a much more severe crisis. And again, it's very intricate, all these politics, and it shows how when you don't have a real democratic system where people actually can vote their majority, weird things happen. And Boehner represents a minority, and he may have to appease that minority.
What do you think, or I want to ask you, how long do you think it'll be after people go online and get their Obamacare insurance before it's all quiet?
It'll be interesting. I'll tell you, Leslie, one of the things I'm looking forward to is I'll be hosting your show this Tuesday, which is October 1st, which is the first day it's available. And I won't be surprised if the very first day the government websites crash, because everyone's going to go there and look up their prices. So it probably won't happen that day. But within a week or two or 3 weeks, I think people are going to say, wow, this isn't such a bad deal after all. And it'll become like Social Security and Medicare and all these other programs that Americans are willing to march to the government to save. And I think a lot of this opposition will melt away. I really do. But it might take a month or two.
A month or two isn't that bad, though, considering we've had years of kicking and screaming and crying. What are your predictions as to what the Republicans are going to do when you talk about how complex this is politically, what they're doing? And now they've even made it worse. It's not just about Obamacare. Now it's about the Keystone Pipeline. It's almost like, it reminds me of the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin. I'm just going to take my red thermos and this lamp and this jewelry box and these slippers and.
See, the government, the Republicans have been trying to basically be the party of no ever since Obama's been elected. If you note that even Ted Cruz has no idea how to actually solve the nation's health care crisis, he just doesn't want the Obama solution, which is also, frankly, the Romney solution or the Heritage solution. He wants no solution. The Republicans have no solution. They have zero proposals of themselves. They just want to shut down the ones that get through Congress. And at some point, I think America's going to realize that when it becomes to a party who's trying to make the government work and a party who's simply trying to shut everything down, most people want people elected to government who believe government can succeed, not those who believe the government has to fail.
We are going to take a break. Well, I'll just ask him on the air. Mark, we were going to, in hour three tonight, where I normally have open phones, talk about Obamacare. We were going to talk about the lies, and we were going to right some of those wrongs and correct some of those lies. Are you able to join us, or do you have
a
plan?
No, I can join you. Sure.
Okay, I would love it. Okay, Mark Levine's going to hang with us, so we're going to have 2 hours of The Inside Scoop. I'm very excited. I hope you are as well. I love having Mark with me as my co-host, and I love talking about these things with him. As you can hear, he's very passionate about this, as are many Americans. But unfortunately, many Americans are passionate because they're more confused. That's what the Los Angeles Times said about Californians, and this is a very blue state where I am. Here to set you free, but I'm not alone, and he is not a woman. He is my co-host and my partner in crime, Mark Levine, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security and Financial Services Committees as well. He currently hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop, and this is the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show every hour two Thursday and sometimes into hour three, as we're doing tonight. Hour two is 8 p.m. Eastern, hour three, 9 p.m. Eastern. On your radio station, on your stream, on TuneIn, on the Progressive Voices Network, or on the American Armed Forces Radio Network. He also hosts the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM inside the Beltway. Mark also appears on television, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC. He is tangled, not tangoed, with Bill O'Reilly on the right and his Pacifica co-hosts on the left. More than a pleasure to have my co-host and partner in crime with us tonight. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. And to call us tonight, 888-653-7543 is the number. I was sitting here going, woman, you know, got your woman. And I'm thinking, oh, God, Mark is so good with my my theme music. I appreciate you, chilling on that. Well,
not a problem. When I host for you, we do a record scratch, and then I play my theme music. So that's that's just fine. Hey, if I give a short plug, I'm actually going to be on Fox this Sunday between 1 and 2 Eastern time, if folks want to see me there. And if you miss it, I'll be on my website, marklevinetalk.com, so people can tune in there.
No, you can't give a plug. I'm only kidding. Of course you can. What show? Are you doing America's Headquarters?
Yeah. I'm with Shannon Bream. I'm going to be on set live in Washington, D.C. It's always nice to be on set.
She and I get along very well. Tell her I said, if she talks to you off air, which sometimes she does, it just depends if she has time, especially on the weekend. Tell her that I said hi and I'm having a cocktail.
I will. I'm actually a big fan of Shannon Bream myself. She's just a nice person. I mean, she's informed and she's good on air and all, but she's just a really nice person.
And she
it's
happens
nice
to be
to
and she happens to be beautiful, although she is not
that's
your type.
True.
Yeah, she, but she She is quite beautiful. We're going to talk healthcare, but then I may dance over to Israel Aron with you if you want. If you want,
sure. Go where you want.
Now, in this hour, we're going to take calls on this. We're going to talk about this. We're talking more about Obamacare again, but the president was chiding the GOP. And the president was specifically chiding the lies of the GOP. And I'm wondering, what do you think? And I want to ask people listening tonight, what are you afraid of, America, with Obamacare? Put politics aside. Because there are people out there, LA Times, you know, shows Californians, most of them are very confused about Obamacare. So what is it about Obamacare? What are you afraid of? Or what have you been told that scares you? Because I think there are people out there that feel, I don't like Obamacare because it's going to cost me more money. Not true. Most likely it won't. I don't like Obamacare because I'm going to have to give up the health care plan I have and that I love. Not true. So in this hour, with my co-host Mark Levine, we want to demystify the myths about Obamacare. Pick up the phone and join us, and let's talk about it. What are some questions you have on the plan? We will answer to the best of our ability. I've been educating myself more and more on the plan, especially to debate conservatives on Fox, as well as to provide answers here. I know Mark knows a lot, a hell of a lot, probably more than me, about the plan. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is our number. Or you can tweet us at Mark Levine Talk is for Mark, at Mark Levine Talk is for me, at Mark Levine Talk is for Mark, at Leslie Marshall is for me. Follow us both, tweet us, and we will share those tweets during the show as well. What do you think most Americans are afraid of?
Well, I think that health care is complicated, period, and long before Obamacare. I mean, I know when I chose my plan, you got to choose a deductible, you got to see what's covered, you got to see what's there for preventative care, and then for your doctor visits, and then there's the drug plans, and it's enormously complicated. One of the things that the reasons why I think that 94% of Americans on Medicare like it, and that's a true poll, 94%. I can't think of anything else 94% of Americans agree on. 94% of Americans on Medicare like it. Now, not everyone on, if you're not on Medicare, some Americans don't like it. But if you're on it, you like it. And they like it. It's a relatively simple plan. They offer five or six things to choose from, letters A through F, and it's pretty clearly spelled out, and the vast, vast majority of American seniors are on it. This plan is going to be simple, too. It won't be A, B, C, D, E, F. It'll be bronze, silver, gold, platinum, whatever it is. But I think that simply whittling down the choices to make it simpler to understand is a good thing. So I think that a lot of the complexity of Obamacare relates to the fact that our health care is pretty complex as it is. I have long supported, as you know, Leslie, I have long supported universal health care, basically Medicare for all, which would simply cover everyone. You wouldn't have to worry about paying for it. Your taxes would pay for it, and you'd be done with it. That's what 35 other nations have done. So, you know, Obamacare isn't good enough for me. I think we can do better, but it's definitely better than the current system that we have.
Okay, let's take some calls, and we started out with Reggie in Decatur, Georgia. Hi, Reggie. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Want to hear your take on Obamacare. What, if anything, scares you about it, or what is your opinion on the plan from what you know of it? Because not all Americans know everything about it. I don't think anybody knows everything about it. And a lot of people are frightened by it or confused by it. Reggie, good evening. Thank you for joining Mark Levine, my co-host, and I here on the Inside Scoop edition of the show.
How you doing, Leslie? How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm good, Reggie. How are you?
Good, Reggie. How you doing?
Just fine. Leslie, I saw you on Hannity Live with Sean Hannity debating Dana Loesch on Obamacare, and she said that nobody wants it. It's going to be a potential failure, and that people are not going to want it. They're going to go up against it. They're taking their health and life insurances away from them. Their private health and life insurances away from them, and if there's anybody who needs to roll or pull up that proverbial tugboat off the shore, it's her, not you. Because, you know, she said she has the statistics and numbers about people going against Obamacare. They don't want it. It'll be a potential failure, and that it'll take away the existing health and health care and medical life insurance and all that stuff. And Sean said the same thing, too. He agreed with her, practically.
Well, Reggie, I'll tell you something. All these myths are going to be dissipated very soon. I mean, within a week. I'm actually very excited about that. I think Jon Stewart said it best. He talked about the fact that Ted Cruz had nothing to say for his 21-hour filibuster, and he was citing, you know, Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. And he actually reminded us what Green Eggs and Ham is about. It's about a guy who loudly, vociferously complains again and again, I do not like green eggs and ham, and then he tries it. And guess what? He likes it. Yes. I think the same is true with Obamacare. People are complaining very loudly now, and the Republicans can do their best to stop it. But once it's implemented, I think it's going to be like Social Security and Medicare. Everyone will gripe about a few little things, like they still gripe about Social Security and Medicare, a few people. But the vast majority will be very satisfied with it.
Right. Right. And yeah, but they both agree with Ted Cruz about this, about him shutting the government down if he doesn't get his way. As Leslie Marshall said, he's like a top. He's like one of her kids who doesn't get his or her way, and they start crying and get on the floor, kicking and screaming, pounding the floor. You know, if they don't get their way, they're gonna take their ball and they're gonna go home. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, the government may well shut down. It wouldn't surprise me if it happens. But frankly, I think most Americans. I just heard the news on right here on Leslie Marshall's show. The poll that said that 80% of Americans don't think the government should be shut down to play politics with something. And so those 80% of Americans.
And that's another area, Mark. That's another area where Republicans are such hypocrites because they say don't. The American people don't want you to get involved with Syria. You're not listening to them, Mr. President. You're not listening to your people. But the majority of people don't want Obamacare is the reason Ted Cruz wouldn't shut up, you know, for hours. But when it comes to the majority of the American people don't want you to do this. The majority of the people have a low opinion of you. The majority of people want you to work with the Democrats and not fight them. Those majorities they don't care about.
Right. You know, that's why they need to try it. Look, after a year of having this plan, after all the kinks are worked out, then the Republicans, if people don't like the plan then they can actually make a reasonable argument. We tried it for a year. People hate it. Prices are going way up. Then they could actually make an argument. But the fact that they're scrambling so hard to prevent Americans from even trying it, frankly, I think it belies the notion that they know that Americans really will like it, and that's why they're trying really so hard to stop it before it goes into effect.
Right, and they're gonna, and it's gonna happen. It's gonna come to fruition eventually, and they're gonna be, and inevitably they're gonna be hyperventilating once that comes to pass. As you and Leslie said earlier, that once it comes to pass in fruition, they're gonna be hyperventilating even more about it, because it's gonna upset them even more that they can't discriminate against people based on whatever anymore because of that. They can't deny people health and medical and life insurance because of whatever conditions that these people are in. Or born into, right?
I'll tell you, who don't like it the most is the people who are currently uninsured, people with pre-existing conditions, people like Velma who called in, who have diabetes. It's true that if you're perfectly healthy and you don't ever go to a doctor, you may have to pay a little more. But you know what? All that means is that if you come down with something, if you get hit by a car tomorrow, you're going to be covered. That's what insurance is all about. And frankly, like I argued to Sean, I pay for the firefighters. My taxes go to pay for them. I've never had a fire, but I don't begrudge the few bucks I pay for them because I know if I have a fire, they'll be there.
Well, yeah, and I'm afraid that these conservative Republicans are most scared of, and what fears them the most, or scares them the most, and what they fear the most is that E word, equality and equal treatment under the law, equal and fair treatment under the law. That's what scares the hell out of them the most, which is why they're hyperventilating and about Obamacare, which is exactly why they're going up against it, to do everything in their power, within their power, to try to stop it from happening, although they'll lose in the end.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Reggie, sorry.
They're trying to stop it. They're trying to do the very best that they can to stop it, but they'll lose in the end, you know.
Okay.
I
think they will. I think they will lose. Mark, do you agree with that? That although they're trying to stop it, they won't be successful in stopping Obamacare, and that they will, the Republicans, lose in the end. Do you agree with Reggie's remark?
Yeah, they have to. They can't stop it. It's going to affect October 1st, even if they shut down the government. The irony is, if in their tantrum they shut down the government, one of the few things that will be functioning is Obamacare, because it costs very little. Frankly, it's pretty much self-funding. So it doesn't need funding to do the vast majority of it. They can't even stop it that way. All they can do is throw their little tantrum. And I think once the American people see that the national parks are closed, but they can still get health insurance, then they're going to really be questioning why are Republicans Republicans doing this again?
Yep, absolutely. Reggie, thank you for your call. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back to the only true democracy in talk radio, the Inside Scoop Edition, hour two of the Inside Scoop Edition tonight, in hour three of the show. Don't worry, there's no quiz after. You don't have to keep that straight. Hard for me to do it. Mark Levine's my co-host. I'm Leslie Marshall, the other half. I'm on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast. Where are you? Pick up the phone and join us. We're talking healthcare, demystifying the myths, and giving you truth over the lies. Pick up the phone and join us, 888-653-7543. That's the number. We'll be back to you. Want to tweet us? Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. Follow me at Leslie Marshall. You can tweet us there as well. Sharing your calls, your tweets, and more information regarding the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which is going to go whether the government shuts down or not. And believe it or not, most people are going to like it. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people screaming that they don't like it aren't even going to have it. Because they don't need it, because they are insured. Like those congressional members. Ted Cruz, that senator, him too. Oh, by the way, the reason that Ted Cruz and the others don't have Obamacare, here's a truth for a lie. When people say that it's so bad, Congress didn't want it, no. Their insurance is so good and solid, they didn't need to have it, just like any of us who are insured under our employer already. We'll be back to you and their employer's Uncle Sam, right? We'll be technically Barack Obama or the American people. We'll be back to you right after this. Don't go away. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. Back to you. Don't go away.
I'm breathing in the chemicals.
We're back. My co-host and partner in crime tonight is Mark Levine. We're talking healthcare. We're talking to you. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back with me after the break and not bailing during the break. And let's take some calls and start it out in Sacramento with Darren, Sacramento, California. Hey, Darren, good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while. Good evening. Welcome. Question or comment? Hi.
How are you?
Good. God, you sound like you're in the room with me.
Oh, well, that's good. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Darren.
Yeah, hi. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the way that the State Department of Insurance is in any given state, the way that they mandate what insurance companies must and must not cover. And I have not heard any conversation from any of the legislators or the executive. Nobody seems to talk about this. And in my view, you know, I do medical malpractice insurance. And in my, so I, you know, I'm not an expert on health benefits, but in my view, it just seems like the whole, you know, I don't remember any state insurance commissioners being brought in the conversation. And it just, I'm very, very dubious as to why the feds can supersede the state DOIs, who, by the way, have created mini monopolies in the health benefits provider area in every state. Every state is different. But they all have their little monopolies.
Well, the answer, Darren, is that it depends on the state. The if a state opts into Obamacare, there's no overriding at all. As long as the state is providing the basic benefits, then the states will determine how much they cost and where the exchanges are, and more than half the states will probably do that. It's only in the states that refuse to implement it. Ironically, the states will have the most federal control will be the reddest states that refuse to participate, states like Texas. Those are the ones where the federal government will supersede them because they refuse to set one up on their own. But state insurance commissioners will retain their power in any state that opts into the plan.
Okay, well, what I guess what I'm trying to where I'm trying to kind of focus in is on the fact that State Department of Insurances have historically dictated what must go into a health benefit policy, and then they further dictate who can be admitted in every state to write those policies. So therefore, say in California, you have 5 or 6 carriers. And they have to write ABC policies, and people can buy those policies. So, but a company, say from Nebraska, that may want to diversify, they can't come into California and write. So, what that does is creates monopolies. And so, a lot of the rise in healthcare premiums over the last 20 years, some of the difficulties that we've seen, are directly correlated back to the fact that State Department of Insurances have created monopolies. Now, with that said, take that to the federal model, and you're going to see huge, huge monopolies. We don't talk about that. Most people don't quite understand that. I don't think most people quite understand what Obamacare is. But
okay,
hold on, Darren.
Hold on, sweetie. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll be back with you, my co-host Mark Levine. If you're holding, hang tight. Coming to your calls as well. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away. This is the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. Back to you right after this. He's Mark Levine. We're co-hosting the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. We're talking Obamacare, demystifying the mystery, debunking the myths, sharing the truth from the lies. Sounds like a television show on Discovery Channel or something. But no, and we are here to do that. We really are, because this is going to happen whether the government shuts down or not. And that's exactly why it is beyond obvious that this is nothing but political pandering and a circus. Not just Ted Cruz, but other Republicans in the House as well.
Leslie, I want to respond to Darren. I don't know if he's still on the line or not, but
Darren is. Let's bring him back in Sacramento. Hey, Darren, thanks for holding. Welcome back, buddy.
I do want to respond to what he has to say, because he's right that states do retain significant power here. Most Republicans support states' rights, and states actually determine whether or not you can have an insurance plan in their state. For example, let's say you have an insurance plan that charges you, $100 a month, and so it sounds really cheap, but it only covers you in case you have an obscure disease that only one in 10,000 Americans have, and it covers you for nothing else. A state could say, you know what, that's just fraud. You're tricking people. They're paying $100 a month. They think they're going to get full coverage, and they're actually only covered, 0.1% of the time. So states do continue their right to regulate the plans. But the reason we know that this isn't the reason that healthcare costs have been going through the roof for the past several years is because if you look at the best government monopoly on healthcare, we've got one. The federal government has a monopoly on Medicare, and Medicare always has cheaper rates than private insurance. And the main reason it does is because private insurance charges 20 to 25 to 30% just in administrative fees. That's, people putting together the plans and doing all the paperwork and paying off the CEOs of these health insurance companies. It's very expensive, whereas Medicare charges 3% to have all those government employees do all the work there. So, in fact, if you remember, there was a proposal that there be a public option that Obama supported, that I and Leslie supported, and the idea was going to be, look, have a public option and have all these private health care plans, and whoever, gives the cheapest rate, the public will go to. The private companies said, no, we cannot compete because the government will always be able to be cheaper than us. They can bargain. They can get cheaper prices. They don't have to make a profit. We can't compete. We can't make a profit this way. And you may recall the Republicans forced Obama to back down on the public option. So I wouldn't fear a government monopoly on this one. In fact, there is no government monopoly. It's still private health care plans determined by the various states. But we know that when the government is involved, health care is always cheaper. That's true in the United States. That's true in the 35 nations that have universal health care.
Okay.
Right.
Darren.
I hear that. What I would say to that is what you outlined as far as the public option, we're getting very warm to some actual real solutions. And the solution would have looked like, in my view, being in the business, the solution should have looked like this. We limit the power of the state DOI to dictate all these policies. We institute more something along the lines of some legal framework that says you have to plainly state what the policy is. So young people could get catastrophic, 55-year-olds could get full coverage and whatnot. People that couldn't become insured then could go to a public option that would work for anybody that was being denied with pre-existing conditions, anybody that had some serious stuff in their past that the insurance companies wouldn't touch. Then we should have set up what we're calling a public option for these people. Then thirdly, I would say that we could have robustly improved our county health clinics, make those very robust. But what we've done, because we kind of they really were rushing and they wanted to get it through, and of course we all know that it was not bipartisan at all. So they do it, and it's just, in my view, looking at it, and I don't know everything about it. I've learned some about it. it looks like a big mess to me, and there's like overlapping jurisdictions, and there's all this stuff going on where there's some solutions that would have been much easier if everybody just would have calmed down, been more pragmatic, and taken an approach. Like I said, robust county clinics, public option for uninsurables, and have a company in Rhode Island be able to write in Minnesota, and so they can diversify their portfolios, and the federal government wouldn't have to spend anywhere near what
Darren, a lot of people feel, especially on the left, that this plan didn't go far enough. I always thought that the mandate was kind of ridiculous without the public option. And very good points as always, Darren, and really love your passion. And this is an issue where people are very, very much passionate. Thank you for your call. I appreciate that. Mark, what do you think? I do want you to comment on that and regarding the public option. Because, you know what I'm saying?
I agree with Darren, a lot of what he has to say. Robust county health clinics. Yeah, you and I, Leslie, both supported the public option, as did President Obama. That couldn't get past the filibuster, so it didn't happen that way. Frankly, the only thing that Darren and I are disagreeing on is states' rights. I support states' rights, and he does not. And it's ironic because usually it's Republicans that are arguing for states' rights. I think if you don't like the way the California Insurance Board is choosing plans, then elect a different California Insurance Commissioner, elect a different California legislature. I mean, I like the fact that, frankly, when I lived in California, I knew that there was protection. They were going to make sure that some shoddy health care plan didn't cross the way that wasn't, say, well-funded, so that I'm paying an insurance plan, and then I get cancer, and lo and behold, that place is bankrupt. I like government regulators looking over this, but if Darren doesn't, you know, he can go to Texas or, you know, where they have basically, you know, anything you want. And you can go in, you buy health care, and you may or may not get it because they don't really regulate it that well. But again, all the state regulators do is they give these extra protections, and if you don't like it, elect different state regulators. That's not the fault of Obamacare. I want to be very clear on that.
All right, let's take some more calls, and let's go next to Emily in Austin, Texas. Emily, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Question or comment? Good evening.
I'm a discussion, really. I'm actually kind of support Obamacare and everything that has to offer, but I think it's not doing enough. For example, I think the reason why it's not universal health care and we don't have it yet is because we're the only country where we can buy an election, and the insurance company lobbyists have been doing it for quite some time. And I mean, I think that's what's preventing it from happening.
Well, I mean, look, I can't deny that you and I and Leslie all believe that universal health care is the better way to go. I mean, 35 nations do it. They all pay about half of what we do in health care, and they all live longer than we do. Even the little country of Costa Rica, which is not a very rich country, they live longer than we do because they have universal coverage. We support that.
And some people understand. It's not just Mark, it's not, and I'm glad you said that, it's not just because we have universal coverage. It's because of what universal coverage changes us society to do. In our society, what we do is, I hurt, screw it, I have a copay. I hurt, screw it, I have a deductible. I hurt really bad. Oh crap, my bone is sticking out of my leg. I gotta run to the ER. And that has been the mentality. Whereas if we are preventative in our health care and caring for ourselves, like taking our car in for that checkup every 3,000 miles
exactly,
and getting the oil change, we will be like those other countries. And I think and universal health care allows one to do that in a society. And Mark, I think you'd agree, like those,
I do.
Like those other countries do.
Shut down the government over that. People are going to say, they're not, I don't think they're going to even blame Ted Cruz. I'm actually assuming that they're going to blame, people who, elected him into office. Cause even when he was running, he looked like he looked pretty dangerous. I mean, the guy is a Princeton debate champion and stuff, and he can go on without stopping, filibustering on.
Well,
yeah,
exactly, because it's going to be in place. Anything? Oh, where's Daily Dave? He was up next. Daily, give us a call back. Emily, anything else, dear?
Nope.
I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate you joining us tonight.
Bye.
Appreciate your comment.
Thank you, Emily.
Austin, the liberal hub of Texas. I used to live in Houston. We'll be back. Mark, when did you live in California?
About 12 years ago.
Where did you live?
I lived in the LA area.
You did not San Francisco?
No. In Hollywood Hills is where I lived, actually.
Ooh. Okay. You party going dude, you. Name dropping, party going, Hollywood elbow rubbing dude.
You asked, so.
Yeah, we'll be back to my co-host Mark Levine on the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show right after this. You want to join us? 888-653-7543. We'll be back. And you know what, Mark, when we come back, let's not ignore those tweets. And Daily Dave, give us a buzz. He was up next. Give us a buzz. We'll be back. I'm Leslie Marshall on the West. He's on the East. And this is the Inside Scoop edition of the Leslie Marshall Show. We are talking healthcare and we are talking some myths and mysteries, etc. Mark, let's go to some tweets. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd like to, because I'd really like to respond to the tweet I got from a guy, I think it's a guy, could be a woman, who calls him or herself Fair Tax. Because to me, this typifies...
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
Okay, so
I don't know who he is. I mean, I know his tweets.
You know his tweets, right? So here's the thing that when you ask Leslie, the thing he's most concerned about with Obamacare, he writes, "Me having to pay for the slackers." And I'm thinking to myself, do you know what Obamacare does? Because currently the way it works is if you're uninsured and you go to the emergency room, you are taken care of. And you talked in the last, before the break, that if you took preventative care, like maybe took some heart medicine, maybe you wouldn't have the need for open heart surgery. But if you come in with a massive heart attack, it's an emergency, they have to take care of you, and if you can't afford to pay for it, then taxpayers pay for it. So Fair Tax needs to understand that before Obamacare, he has to pay for people he might call slackers, basically the poor people who go to the emergency room. But now under Obamacare, everyone will have to pay something in proportion to how much they make. So the irony is that it's a much more conservative notion that people have to be responsible for their own health care to the extent they can afford to pay, and he won't have to pay for the slackers anymore. Ironically, this is a conservative idea, which is why the Heritage Foundation and, frankly, Mitt Romney first proposed it.
Well, when I say if it was called Bush Care, they would have loved it.
That's exactly right. So the logic of the people who hate Obamacare goes something like this. I hate Obama. I hate the Democrats. Obama's a crazy liberal. Therefore, since I don't understand the plan, it must be a crazy liberal plan. When actually it does fulfill some conservative notions like individual responsibility.
All right. Excellent points. Let's talk about some other tweets. Fed up American tweets. Don't you think we've heard these talking over and over? I keep thinking, how are we going to pay for this massive giveaway? Now, here is another lie. The Republicans like to tell people that this is going to cost us individually and as a nation so much money. And you said it's pretty much paid for or self-funded, so much so that if the government shuts down, Obamacare goes on and thrives on, and obviously that was part of how it was written in the legislation.
That's true. There is going to be a slight increase on people that buy and sell a lot of stocks on Wall Street. If you're making $500,000, your taxes probably will go up, but for the vast majority of Americans, it won't increase at all.
Absolutely. This is...
Leslie, I just wanted to jump in for a minute. Back in 2007, when I was working for the show and we were working under a different boss, if you remember, I had to... He was essentially going to pay for the insurance, but he needed me to go out on the open market and buy it and shop for the plans. Now, I was in New York, so you would think, okay, you know, progressive state, the prices will probably be lower. At the time, I was, I believe, 26 or 27 years old, non-smoker, healthy. The cheapest plan was not $1,030 a month. Okay.
Wow.
Now, I remember that. I remember you telling me that.
So, in the two other expensive plans were, I think that was like Univera, maybe, and then there was Blue Cross Blue Shield, which was like $1,210, and there was one in between there, Independent Health, which was like $1,100 something. Okay. So imagine with inflation, how many years later, and the average cost for the silver plan, which has better value, or the second tier silver plan under the Obamacare plan, is $328 a month. I'm thinking, that's paradise. That's incredible. And it's better than the previous plan that I would have gotten back then, because they can't discriminate against me because of pre-existing conditions, and there's no caps. There's no lifetime caps on the care I could receive. So,
and it includes free preventative care, which
exactly.
The other plan probably didn't.
So, I mean, if you want to just be a numbers person and say, oh, I don't lean one way or the other, both parties are, you know, equally as guilty for blah, 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 we've all heard that. Well, fine, then there's the proof's in the pudding.
Okay, very, very, very good point, Mark. Thank you for sharing that. That's Marky Mark, our executive producer here. Charlie tweets, and my premium is doubling, and my pregnant wife may not be able to stay with our OBGYN. Yep, sounds awesome. How? Mark, it is clear that if you have insurance under your employer, nobody is forcing you to go with Obamacare.
That's exactly right.
And just like an HMO, there are going to be some doctors that are on the plan and some that aren't. And quite frankly, that's the same with Blue Cross. I constantly will run into doctors that are like, oh, we're no longer on Blue Cross, especially like dentists that are not a part of the Blue Cross dental network.
So one in five Americans are going to actually be under Obamacare, and that includes all the uninsured, plus people that are self-employed. The vast majority of Americans get it through their employer, or they're covered under Medicare, or their kids covered under their parents' plan. So it really won't even affect that many people. I mean, in the scheme of things, it'll affect millions of Americans. Don't get me wrong. It's very useful. But still, 80% of us, it won't change anything.
So this guy is out of his mind when he says, she'll lose her OB-GYN.
This guy should write again come October 1st when he actually sees the plan. One of the nice things about Obamacare actually is it does provide for women. Some of the other plans prior to Obamacare would discriminate against women. They'd say basically, well, since women get pregnant and men don't, we're going to charge women more. Basically, this plan ends sex discrimination, and it's one of the things that provides birth control and other things that Republicans complain about but are often medically necessary for a number of women.
Liberty tweets, and his name is Ryan. He has called the show before. What will happen after I'm 26? Because his plan only will cover him until middle to end of November on his parents' plan under Obamacare because he's 26. And
you can go right now and check under healthcare.gov. The numbers there are approximate. Come October 1st, they'll be definite, and you can find out exactly what happens. You put in your age and your gender and where you live and a few other things that you're not a smoker or whatever. It'll tell you how much it'll charge you under each of the plans, silver, bronze, and so forth.
If they implement it well,
it'll all be spelled out, and I really hope they do, though it may depend on your state. I know my home state of Virginia is actually defunding people who will explain how it happens. So you better to live in a blue state than a red state because they'll explain things better.
Yeah, most definitely. Bo tweets, well, the majority of American were for Obamacare with public option and supported background checks, so why tout them now?
Well, they do. The majority of Americans support gun control, but it hasn't worked. Part of the main problem with the Republican Party is they represent a very vociferous minority, and it's about time that we let the Democratic majority rule, frankly.
Tommy tweets, 4,000 is more affordable than zero.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
what right-wing blog did you get that number from, right?
Yeah, give me some facts. Don't just throw some numbers around. Look,
exactly.
It'll be very interesting because I'm going to be on air on your show Tuesday, and that'll be the first day.
No, wait. I want to go back to the pregnant wife guy because he's listening, and he tweeted, I have to pick a new plan at Blue Cross to one that is ACA compliant. I like the plan I had. Now I have to change that. Fact. No, I know what he's talking about. I got a letter because I'm an employer, but my husband is also an employer, and we have Blue Cross. Basically, Blue Cross is restructuring some of their small group plans that to comply with Obamacare. That doesn't change the plan, and it doesn't change the providers either.
Right, and you can still go to the same doctor. And frankly, you may choose to abandon Blue Cross and go with your state insurance run fund. I got Blue Cross too, and they told me they're going to increase my rates come November. So I'll be looking very closely to Obamacare to see if I can do better.
Okay. I love having you on, as always, as you know, and I love you. And tell us what's coming up. Sunday, once again, tell us again.
Yeah, so Sunday between 1 and 2 Eastern time, I still don't know my topic, but Shannon Bream's going to host me. It may well be. I wouldn't be surprised if it's on Obamacare. And all of this, if you missed it, it'll be on my website, marklevinetalk.com. And then next week, Leslie, I'll be sitting in your stead Tuesday and Thursday, and I guarantee you Tuesday, October 1st, the first day of Obamacare, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. I wish I could be here, but I'm going to be speaking at my alma mater, Northeastern University in Boston at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. If anybody's in the Boston area, they can catch me there. Mark, love you. Thank you. It's Marky Mark and Zach. You guys are awesome. Marky Mark and the ZQ Zach, my producer and executive, my executive producer and my assistant producer.